Some of you may know Samantha Giles from the Bay Area in that she, in her public life, she is the director of a place called Small Press Traffic, which is a literary arts organization that's been active in the Bay Area for, is it 40 years? Yeah. 42 years now, yeah. So they run a regular reading series and workshops and other things, and I'm sure if you asked her about that, she would tell you more, but they have a regular Sunday reading series, Sunday afternoons, and often at ATA, which is the Artist Television Access Gallery on Wednesday on 21st? Yes. Great. The books that we have by Samantha today, even though she says she's going to read new work, I wanted to let you know about these. Herdis Ado, which is from Displaced Press, and Dead Falls and Snares, which is from Future Poem. And I thought I would just quote from Mr. C.A. Conrad, who was here a couple years ago now. And Mayakovsky wrote, "Poetry is at its very root tendentious. Well, okay. Even still, there is a gap between the fear of being frightened and being frightened that only certain poets can close. It's a particular wedge of empathy to make a palpable fear for our mortality. Few poets get us there, hand us over to ourselves, like Samantha Giles does. This new book, Dead Falls and Snares, really is a trap where the reader is helpless to do anything but see our ruin, our torture, our inescapable and very complicit gun to the head. Blink, and it still reads as wrenching as it feels. Samantha Giles has given us the book we have been reading everywhere voraciously to find. Here it is. Here you are. Give yourself a read. A poet has found you." I'll leave it at that.
Thanks. How are you guys doing? Okay. I actually am an alumnus of San Francisco State, so I have a little empathy for how exhausted you are right now, and I just am very appreciative that you're still awake and you're here. Feel free to, like, you know, zone out and think about your homework or whatever. Thank you so much to Elise and Steve. As Steve mentioned, I'm a curator in the Bay Area, and it means a lot to have Elise and Steve as collaborators and cohorts in this work. So thank you so much for everything that you do for the Bay Area, and thank you for having me here to read with Angie, who was fantastic. And I always love that moment in my curator life when the two readers that I put together like echo each other in ways that I wasn't expecting. And the work that I'm going to read tonight is about a little bit about ecological atrophy and being in a female body. So I feel grateful to have Angie open for me. Not open for me, but read alongside me. So this is from a forthcoming book called Origin. It should be out, I don't know, eventually. And I'm going to see how far I'm going to get. I could get through all of this at home, but who knows. You guys are tired. I'm going to do my best. Okay. Selection. You start off by wanting to shove your molecules into the other's molecules. You start off making the link. You start off with a kind of mixed up need of enmeshment. This need is familiar to you. You want to burrow in the overlap. This need is familiar to you, but you try to ignore it. This tendency to look away is familiar to you. This gesture is part of the quotient of the shove, the need to make a link between this and the other, the way they lie together like that. You need to make a link in the way the thumb curls around the tips of the other fingers, between the space that stays open and enmeshment caused by shoving, the space between the space. But you don't fully understand the physics of this. You are underwater here, mouth open. You are here and not here. You are underwater here but can sense the outlines of islands. You sense it with your molecules. You are underwater here but you can feel the pressing into. You want to shove your molecules into the molecules of islands, in the dirt and the rocks and the mud and the fluids between. You want to shove your molecules into the molecules of a distant archipelago. You don't fully understand the why of why you want this. You're not entirely sure you know the difference between yours and the other's molecules. You're not entirely sure which molecules you would pick for the shoving, because there are the molecules you can never seem to get rid of, and there are the molecules that want you to disperse. There are the theories of every 7 years, all new molecules. There are the theories of yours and not yours. There are where you came from and where you're going. And so, even though it seems impossible, what you most want to shove your molecules into is an archipelago you've never been to, lush and synthetic, apathetic and teeming. Even though it seems impossible, what you most want to shove your molecules into is something gone, but also not quite gone. The dents left behind in the skin, in the pressing into. Even though it seems impossible, you shove into this intimate absence. You're not entirely sure about the complex relationship of these molecules to your molecules. You still want to shove. You still want to shove into the complex relationship of your molecules in relationship to other molecules. You still want to lie back and tense for the insertion. You still want to shove into the complex relationship of yours and not yours. You want to shove into the needs of this. You want to shove into what's pressing as you lie back into it. Feel the pattern it makes in your receding. You want to shove into your need to do this, you here and in the distance of where you've never been, into this distance made of this longing. You just want to shove harder. You might want to do this as a way to locate your need, because your molecules feel this urge you can't explain, because your molecules are ripe for the thrust. Your molecules feel this urge to collect around those of the tiny fishes who dart in and out in the outlines of the islands. Those tiny, tiny fishes that dart out of their barnacle into the barnacle of others. You collect your molecules around these fishes because it seems necessary and impossible. Despite this constancy of impossibility, your mouth stays open underwater. Despite this constancy, your mouth remembers how to be a whole. This urgency feels like a weakness. This urgency like a darting into something. You collect your molecules around this gesture. You collect your molecules around the stealthiness of this fish. Around the fleshy underside of its weaknesses, around the exchange that happens through intimacies of the microscopic. You want to do this because you don't know what else to do. You can't stop thinking about the ways molecules get into things, about the ways of getting into the other's molecules, because you cannot see into and out of preservation like you used to. You can't stop thinking about the weaknesses of the fleshy undersides. You can't stop thinking about the dependence of one being on another. You can't stop worrying about vulnerability. You can't stop wondering about how much vulnerability might be necessary to dart into the other's molecules, to hide in the space of the barnacle, to navigate the fin, to locate yourself in the synthetic need of this. You can't stop wondering about how to observe this vulnerability. Should your mouth be open or closed? Where should you put your thumb in relationship to your fingers? And far away on that archipelago is that tiny, tiny fish commonly observed in the cool waters of the islands. That tiny, tiny fish with its furtive darting, swimming in that archipelago you've never been to. You mean to say that it used to be. You mean to say that its head would just poke out of the mouth of the hole. You mean to say that it would wait and wait and then only take what it would need very, very quickly. That it moved with such panicked agility and still only got what floated by. You mean to say that your molecules understand this tendency. You mean to say that part of what you want to shove your molecules into is this tendency toward dependent survival. You mean to say you can't help lying back into it. You mean to say that you feel like you want to take on a symbiotic relationship with panicked agility. You try to think it would really matter if you were really lying down in it. You try to think how the patterns left behind, dents in the skin. You try to think this, but you generally thwart this tendency toward vulnerability. This gesture feels inadequate but necessary. This gesture inadequately halting the production of something, as if it would alter something, as if it would alter the ways in which you maintain a relationship with panicked agility. You start to think you can picture the angle of the whole. You want for your molecules to show the molecules of the tiny fish the samenesses and the differences between you. You try to pretend like you could articulate this argument. You want to say to the fish that the texture of a barnacle can sometimes be replicated in the dents left in the skin. And then there you are with your molecules lying down with it. You want to do this and feel so bad for wanting it, mouth open, pressed against the grain. You want to tell the tiny fish about this pressing. You want to use the language of barnacles. You want to say this thing is the same thing as this thing. You want to do this, and you know they aren't really the same at all. You want to do this and feel so bad for wanting it. You want to do this to understand the ways that something stays both inside and open, the way in which something just pokes out of the hole. You look for the points of egress, the points of this and not this, the keeping of the length of the body hidden, the staying submerged. Maybe you want to say that you didn't know how to look outside the confines of your own archipelago. Maybe you want to say this was an instinctual impossibility. You might want to reach some kind of mutual understanding with this fish, even though it's impossible, this fish now gone but not gone, this thing once so necessary and inadequate, its impossibility rendered, this absence marking the distance between you and the islands, between you and the insistence of the shove. This impossibility shared with those others that swim along the coast to seek the rocky edges. You feel some kind of hesitancy in feeling a connection to their furry sleekness, gone but not gone. How this hesitancy slips through what's possible. You feel some kind of hesitancy in marking their equation on the rock. You can't tell if it's too general or too intimate. You can't tell if you're adding intimacies to intimacies. You have difficulty assessing this most of the time. But you still think about escaping under ledges and between large boulders. But you still think about being taught to hide from things. But you still think about being between. And you start to consider the guard hairs. You start to collect your molecules around them. And then you start to think about pelts, about the fine fur that's so attractive to hunters. You start to consider the optimism that is ingrained in thinking about rocky ledges. You think about the kind of molecules that are needed for this kind of shoving, the kind that generates optimism versus rocky ledges. You feel this thinking could manifest as survival, as a kind of slowly coming back to something. You think about how furry sleekness is always ready for a comeback. You think it might give you a sense of where to shove this enormous sense of loss you feel all the time, which is to say, you might want to think about slowly coming back only to be attacked by feral dogs. You might want to say you understand that arrangement of teeth. You might want to say something about how you were lying back into it. You could say that your knees were in the position. You think you might want to shove your molecules into the other's molecules to understand these vulnerabilities, to gauge what it means to enter, to calibrate the thrust. You think it might help you understand entrances and exits, but you're not sure. You think it might help you understand this enormous sense of loss you feel all the time. You think it might help to chart the barnacles, but you're not sure. Your uncertainty might have something to do with the direction of the hole. Your uncertainty might have something to do with this enormous sense of loss you feel all the time. Your uncertainty is ingrained, though inextricable from your origin, which only adds to your uncertainty about all this. Maybe you think there's something hopeful in this shoving. Maybe you think this force of movement will help still something else in movement. Maybe it's because you want to thwart a kind of stagnation. Maybe it's because you want to thwart a kind of up and down movement in your head. You know you can't, but you want to anyway. You want the molecules to sway toward the optimism of this kind of shoving. You are hesitant with the optimism, but are feeling it anyway. You are hesitant about what this kind of shoving might expose you to, but wanting it anyway. Your wanting becomes a kind of endlessness. You want the shoving as a way to mark the endlessness, wanting this shoving to add endlessnesses to endlessness, endlessness to endlessness. This rendering an intricate system of panicked agility. You always feel conflicted about this math. You feel this math is too hopeful and you immediately want to shove something into it. You feel conflicted about how much misplaced this hopefulness is. You want to note the sameness and differences about these molecules. You want to note the places that stay submerged. You want to count the breaths in this submersion. You want to think that maybe you get to be endemic only what you get to be endemic to. You think about the urgency of this, about the urgency to shove into what's forgotten, what's stuck between the arrangement, where the dents have almost faded. Sustaining an appetite to hold a complexity of organisms within the bounds of this desire. You want to take up residence in what manifests in the bones, what sticks to the rock, what darts in between, what manages to persist, what doesn't. Wanting to shove into this and then wanting immediately to run your fingers in the dents. The archipelago left rendered and wanting. But you want to shove your molecules into the other's molecules as something more than just an experiment in wanting. You want to push into what hobbles to safety with an awkward insistence, what stays hidden, what stays lost. You want to shove your molecules into the other's molecules like a kind of urge towards natural selection, like a kind of survival of something. You want to shove so many things at once, it feels like an endlessness. You want to run your fingers along the dents of what's gone but not gone, the distance of the archipelago submerged in the wanting. You keep wanting to mark something on the rock, to mark something in this desire. You want to shove all of this together with all of your molecules and all the molecules of the other. You want to do this but feel rendered. Your molecules, inert in their urgency, keep wanting it anyway. That was good timing. Variation. You are hybrids. You are slipped between what stands in for fur, kept in a hutch, hustling your system, pressing up and into the inheritance, which deviates the structure. You are the spoils. You hunch it towards the short-horned or long-horned as a kind of tooth that reverts to the aboriginal, thus new, thus arising. You are argued to the bloodhound weight. You are marking the immutability, the wherewithal. You make room for the habituation and the absence of history. You slide back into how it varies in the winged and the wingless, your enormous hunger of viscosity and the inheritance of swallowing. Hulking the long view, collapsed into the split, you manage a kind of jerky self-satisfaction into the fallows of rodents. You are relative to the gape of the mouth as forces colliding into forces. You're a spiral looking past what is no longer there, past salamanders and crayfish and what feasts on their leavings. You are pulling back the accents and making no pause for what goes flat. You're not only half civilized and smug and behind a chuckle and what goes for as a hypothesis. You're undiminished and watching for allies. You fester into accumulation, a cave system to the accuracy of choice. You are a notion for longing, for furthering need. You gouge at the trench of what used to be. You don't haste the waiting. Oh, remember when it was? You're a split screen with weapon in hand as compensation for blindness. You are the mouthless sounds of viscera, the high echo, and high there too. Your hunger, always ready to press, thus slowly, thus pursued a kind of cultivation of what you can't recognize, but for the change of breeders, but for the raw material of action in the carriage and the tail and the waddle. You are a form perfect into itself, chalked out, holding still in a kind of insufficient descent. You are between the extremes of structure and sheer improbability, willingly perched and parched. And you are forged in the collusions, in the kind of humility that clings to the hairs by which each sight is slighted, made indulgent and ready for action, this distribution of abundance, this population pressure, growing closely on the same branch, nestling to abundance. You've got no prudential restraint, no temptation to devour, hankering towards the young organs, towards the quagga and donkey and zebra. You linger just at the countless herds, the annual slaughter. You just skulk for the surplus. You run to the wild, suffice to keep up, modifying the domestic, that heavy destruction of the inevitable, like turf long mowed, keeling by as much as it swarms towards orifice. You find yourself suffering from germination in the smallest of numbers. Your scrutiny is thickly stocked, being air-filled pouches, being fish. You are one wedge being struck, one hesitation dug cleared, converging on the recurrent. You are every particle, every intake of breath. There's an extreme limit, a hushing doubt in why the butterfly lays her eggs. Your domestic instincts lays dormant. Variation on the service of entrails is your attribution to a greater wildness, is another kind of herd. You are bunched and caught, mutating under the tufts, fluted in forms. You are becoming naturalized, but to a lesser degree. Your exclusivity is its own kind of variance. You find yourself mutual to productivity. You abound to utterance. You rummage an enclosure, another kind of thrush smiting the muzzle of the expendable, and a tendency to run around instead of at. You are driving to the distant point, as hawks on a branch, tortoises in the shell. Supplanting the hatching, the slave-making instinct of certain ants, you're attuned to what's growing vigorously, wild ground birds, the usual struggle, like hunting for the economy of nature. Cuckoo to the chipping sparrow to the cuckoo, the supposition of legs. You keep falling on unoccupied ground. You deliver yourself potent, if not destroyed, making yourself in the little details, finding yourself in the nearness to the hive, the certainty of cocoons, yielding to what the frigate bird forms, that the clusters aggregate, that the mammal has shown. Native of the climates, you're considering rules given swept away by catastrophe, for we all will inherit something. Every organ, every shade of machinery, you render a supremacy of action. You're like wool to the vigorous males. You are accumulated by nature, the way a carcass lays just so. You make do with the unadulterated. You recoil from the bark feeders and the peaty. You are what has marked the long lapse, the imperceptible and yellow-fleshed. You are more than rat. You are more rat than mouse compelled to improve your fleetness, the sugary nectar of snipes. You forsake eliminating the tuft of the domestic for the flinks of the betrayed. You mark the intervals in the natural system, emphasis on the wolf scenario. You are formed for the contingent spaces, for stamens withered and the particulars visited. You are migrating to the distance, considering the many and imagined by which some veil green by so long an immersion. You are measured and cut again. You are the vapor between bees and clovers. You are the accumulation of the infinitely small, dependent on the main part and your curvature towards a moth tongue. You calculate the conspiracy of what is mown in the myriads, simultaneous or sustained from stamen to stigma, charting your ample circumstance. A mechanism exists to the manner of the suck, assembling and reassembling every one of the every one. You foster trace laws of the embryonic as anything visible becomes visible. You name stillness in intervals, hearkening gradual in the overall, in the sketched fin of the porpoise and of the vertebrate. You foment the account taking place in the heron's stomach. You wander remote as an island, the way fish are known in hot lowlands, in southern water lilies. You are what is growing on the summits, what is modified in the structure, the agency of mud and water. You are a primer to the labor of organs, this small piece of turf, this certain proboscis of the beehawk. You keep gaining advantage over the native, for example, silverfish and bristletails. You are a jostling contingent. You are in the construction of appendages, the same as that, the same. Differing bottom from both, you are attributing to a greater wildness. You're a harbor to the tyrant flycatchers, to the carrion buzzard. Branching and spreading, prevailing and multiple, you are each amount in each possibility or even probability. Your divergence analysis is in catching birds by their legs, crawling forward with a particular gait, scenting the prey, doing no more than pointing to the striking distance, yielding enough to the kindred, sweeping away and invariable, so habitual and almost. You read your future in the habitats of the later larder, in the outcome of fungi and the genera of grasses. Having a rather bulky beak in, your fancy is struck in the standards and the accident of transport, sewing and striving. You are bones of a limb, mouth parts of others, inland cliffs formed in the modifications of mandible, the fin to serve as fin. How your plethora muscles under the shriveled and soldered husk under the slow actions of waves hunkered towards horseshoe crabs and ginkgo trees and back again to that argument of largeness. You are the beauty of the bantams, huge mandibles of other, no space to enter here, not mentioned with the plumage, length to the spur and strength to the wing. You are tucked in the confinement of a hooded jaw, well armed and within. This is the last section. Domestication. Are you guys doing okay? Okay. Me too. It's not nothing. It's not nothing at all. It's not nothing to regard the whole and the legs that kick out from it. How nothing it is. How not nothing it is to see what kicks out along the ridges and the place where not nothing begins to form, to feel along what is and isn't formed, how the legs are split in nothing. The not nothing humming in reaction to the absence or presence of water, the decision to leap left in suspension, how nothing is not absorbed through the skin, is augured out of the nothingness of mud, navigated in the slip, its desire filtered and flamed in the spawn left grasping in the dirt, feeling where the water is, but unable to reach it. It's not nothing to have the progression happen bit by bit, the slither hankered into, how not nothing it seems while adjusting to the movement without kicking, coalescing with nothing that stays fertile, vegetal and unsignaled with nothing but the kick that's still dormant, the kick nothing but latent, nothing left in the swamp of where the unlimbed meets that other thing, that not thing, how the not nothing reveals itself in the ligature where muscle meets muscle, how the mechanism attaches itself, attaches along the sinews of making one thing into the other, making itself known in what gets in and what slithers out of the hiss of detachment and the croon of ascent. What accommodates the eventual ripping of what is not nothing and the little pieces, the little tiny pieces, the little pieces so small they barely land on the whole left hanging in anticipation, the little pieces that filter off, unbreathable and so unknowable, caught in the teeth, chewing between this and this. Not nothing slowing the harness, not nothing a hitch in the mechanism, just more grinding down in the replacement of this kind of nothing for that other not nothing. How the slather of mud around the apparatus of nothing wants to be an answer and a question both. How it hungers to soothe the sting of not nothingness, filling in the cracks of where muscle finds muscle, where but it's just a purchase for slippage and the convenience of filth. A way to fill in the circle of what is not, around what is not, what is nothing, what is hustled into the whole. As expected, the map reveals nothing. So there are ridges, so there are signs, so what? Marking the paths again and again and feeling for the wetness as the ink keeps bleeding and tearing, the pieces of oblivion flaking off in chunks, and for what? For nothing. So the meat lies inert in the mouth. The tongue keeps finding its purchase in stabbing, tracing the path of trying to scramble up to the rock with meat still in the mouth, swallowing down the mixture, trying to bear down around the blowback, still jumbling around at the bank, starting at the ache of aught. The not nothingness pulling at the joints, jabbing into the hinge of where something begins to form like a mammal. So lying there, dragged and tussled, sniffling at the fissures, the cells dividing just frame by frame, hatching one by one. Notice where the lines can't form into gills, where the breath still hitches into silence, scratching a scratch, hobbling across the deafened herds with nothing but an extreme case of usefulness, tucked into the fecund uneven in the bunches that squirm, not nothing in the eventual flap of skin, nothing like the suction, just suckling up the dirt like mud, rounding up the sticks for a feathered tempest for nothing. Feeling the mammal riding away with no plot to locate it, some here, some there, to hold it in the soft part of the palm like a squirming fetid thing. Not nothing. A lid half closed, a science of forgetting, shoaled towards the mud, all the tentacles left on the shoreline, not touching, hesitant. How the appendages yearn towards motion, how the grasping goes, this tendency toward dismemberment, a mutation to hold in the ligature, the very least that nature has to offer, hefting up the body and back again, squirming like prey, charting a change in the membranes between nothing and nothing. A kind of twitch of hesitancy, a kind of trick of the light, remembering to remember when swarms plighted the sour taste of the hot and rapid discharge of an easy target. Not nothing that's a commodity of a gutting in the grimace. One here, one there, not nothing, pecked around the waist. Not nothing how the hunt was made to hitch before adaptability outlived a cocked arm, so abandoned and approximate. How the hollows do kneel and keel, the tongue mited with sorrow. Rasping into this nesting with all but the teeth bared, there's something electric about plundering for what's left behind, scraps of entrails tucked in the teeth. To feel it really once and for all the buzzing and quick motions of the tongue held in the soft part of the palm, a gift in the dent of imprisonment. Look at it, so totally nothing, so oiled and yanked. How easy to flash forward and back, one here, there, mewling around in the dark with webs for hands and hooves in the haunches. Besotted with shrinkage, just secreting in the future, left in the little pieces. One caught in the maw of ache, the transition of hobbling, too insistent, too there. The map, all lines that are leaking, colonized in the curling curing process. Why not tighten the claws and beg for more? Scrabble to be salvaged and offer shelter. One piece here, one piece not. Just one piece, just bite down, a not nothing twisted by smallness that's too hard to miss. Smiting the tongue and bracing for the alliteration, feeling it and get to the clenching. All surfaces taking in water, kicking out from the groans of adaptation, then flattening, stuttering in the slaughtered hiss of jaws. How breaking the drive to adapt really brings the bow to the bowing down, just so. Not nothing is the same old quandary of variation, gathering up the worn and wounded, squirming in the myriads, but just stuck on the perch, procured. Just hewn from the split, just trying to hide the mammal, tracing along the seams of where soft parts hinge, torn with hunger, and that cooing roar is just the echo of what's already acquiesced. Nothing but paralysis, this here, that there. Facing the ambush of lying inert, there's no blood at the seam, still so detectable, carved, caved, nothing. Biting for this one small purchase, just plodding through, just concealing the hunt, the hard heart beating of a localized prey. Bearing the fatigue of bursting, rendered, no mere adaptation, nothing. Easing into the pricking position to stay there a while, scurrying to catch the prying sounds on the heels of the blows, squabbed and plucked. To reconstruct the final hit, wrenching the range that's mounted, fester in the kind of detachment that follows like a mewing, scritching around in the mud for what leaks on the map, one line bleeding through, one hitch hitching, the link between the kick and the leg whispered to what turns to bones in the mouth. Just felled function, just thickening with what's been pent. Strutting around with the teeth clamped for the shucker's thrashing, preserved in the press of the harness's cut, abounding to the uninhabited snarl, nothing left but to cower. Go ahead, call up the archivists. Just press the rock to the lips and swallow. Scrabble around for that one bit of prey that keeps flapping at the gills left dangling, flaying by a scent, this thing here, tentated by the damp of the muck, stuttered, the refuge smelling even better for being torn loose. It's not nothing. The exactitude, the multitude of precision of pricks to brace for. There's no prowess, only progeny prepped for the plucking, culling all the cries, all the little mewlings, dry and raspy, harvested. Just lying in expectation, a looming disappearance pulled tight. Just trying to gather up what's hunted, just girding to snatch what's been bushed like it's nothing. Just keep pulling the bristles out in bunches, swollen with forfeiture. This net's a nest of inheritance, not nothing. Go ahead, just settle in. Thanks.